We're going to look this morning at Deuteronomy. Okay. Chapter 28. So, as you may know, Deuteronomy is the last book in the Pentateuch and the first five books. And fascinating book to read, and just to read through it reads pretty good. And where the Israelites, preparing the Israelites to come into the land and teaching them, you know, how to live in God's economy. And so what we have here in Deuteronomy 28:2, Moses is telling the people of Israel to follow this new lifestyle, if you will. And so it says this: all these blessings shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And I added in there, just as so you'll know, in parentheses, you can see it up on the screen, I put, and pursue you, because they quote this same verse in verse 45 of Deuteronomy, and they add pursue. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to take it from 45 and put it in verse 2 also, so I don't think I'm stretching too much. But it gives you an idea what God is saying to the people here. And that's very interesting. You know, I'll make a confession. I don't like to preach on verses like this too much. And one of the reasons why is because when you look at these, a lot of times people get confused and, you know, think that, you know, that their obedience is determines their standing with God, or their obedience determines how salvation comes. And it's just not true. It's not true. So I just don't talk about it. Well, that's not right. there's the whole picture. That's the thing about the scripture. You got to take the whole thing. We always get, that's how we get confused on things and not understand God's hand, is we don't take everything he says. So he really does. God talks about earthly ramifications for obedience and disobedience. All right. So, not talking about your standing with God, not talking about your salvation, but the Bible is full of things about the ramifications for obedience and disobedience by listening to God. And the blessings, when we're obedient, they come on us, pursue us, and overtake us. And so, I mean, that's an interesting way to put that. These blessings come on us, pursue us, and overtake us if we obey the voice of the Lord. And so it's interesting to look at these words in the original, and they're not that different from the English, but it's kind of interesting to kind of get the feeling of what was being said to these people, to communicate these people being said to us. Okay, so it's something to communicate that how God is talking about blessing us. And so the word come there means, I mean, like English said, it means to make a movement, you know. It's like come, so it's mean to make a movement. And then upon means to come on another object. So it's coming, and then it's making, it's coming upon another object. So what it's saying here is like blessings will make a movement and come upon us. Now, I mean, that's what it says, but it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it emphasizes a little bit what that says. Blessings will make a movement and come upon us. And then pursue is interesting. Pursue, I mean, just like it does in English, but it means to follow after, hunt, chase, a motion with considerable effort and force. Pursue, so that pursue there. So what we have here is the blessings will chase after us. That's what it's saying. Blessings will chase after us. Do what the Lord says. Then blessings are going to chase after us. And then the word overtake. Overtake means like lay hold of, catch up with, come upon suddenly. You know, like tackle. It's like tackle. So blessings will suddenly catch us. So it's like, wow. You know, I mean, that's an incredible statement. He's telling these people, he said, listen, you're going into this land, and you're going, and this is what God's going to do if you listen to his voice. So you think about that. So paying attention to what God says has supernatural significance. Amen? When you read what he says, I mean, it's like, no, there's a significance here. There's a supernatural significance. And applying these specific definitions amplifies the intensity, okay? So it just amplifies the intensity to show what God's saying. So what I did is that I just interjected the words, you know, the amplified words into this verse. So look again, if you will, at Deuteronomy 28, verse 2, with the amplified words. And he said, all these blessings, you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, all these blessings shall make a movement and come on you and chase after you and suddenly catch up with you if you obey the voice of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. So here's the thing. It's that God said, no, I'm moving. And it's, oh, God bless me. You know, it's like, oh, he's not doing it, and I'm begging him to do it. But what he's telling us is, no, you obey me. I'm going to run after you. I'm going to catch you, and I'm going to bless you. Like, you can't even help it. You can't help it, okay? Because I'm making a movement to you. I'm chasing you, and I'm going to just overtake you and suddenly come upon you. Well, that's like, wow. That's a little different. Oh, God, take care of it. Oh, God, bless. No, he says, just do what I say, and I'll do this other stuff. So again, as it does in Scripture, we think, the perspective's a little different. Perspective a little different. There's one guy he's gone to be with the Lord, but he would always say, and I'm not there yet, but he would always say, it was based on this principle. He says, when you pray, always say, God, thank you. So don't beg him for anything. It's common. Just say, God, you just state the situation. Thank you for taking care of it. And okay, I'm working on it. Thank you but it's based on this. No, he is pursuing, he's chasing us with his blessings, okay? And it gets, if you would just obey the voice of the Lord. Now, so by obeying God, what it is, by obeying God, we're participating in his economy. So he's working. He said, now come with me and participate in my economy. And you'll see these things happen. This is what I am doing. But he's proactive here, right? He's the one that's being proactive here. And he's just telling us, just listen to me. Just listen to me. In James 4:8, have overhead here, James 4:8 says this, and similar, says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. God, where are you? Here, you know, draw near to God, draw near to you. I want to pour out. This is my desire. We don't have to beg God for these blessings. You know, okay, finally, just get him shut up. I'll give him that. No, he is pursuing us and wanting to give us this. And he says, just hear me. Just do what I say, and I'm pursuing you, and I'm going to overtake you. I think I'm going to overtake you. It's like we're running the wrong direction, and he's going to overtake us. But we're running along doing what he says, and he says he'll overtake us. Now, okay, you want to hear the other side of the coin? I mean, it's the whole Bible, right? So the other side of the coin. And I should say too, now this is an interject, okay, this is not a killjoy, so these blessings pursue us. Now we also remember the messages we had on blessed storms and blessed refining fires. See, those happen. You say, oh, I'm not being blessed, it's just a storm, I'm not being blessed, it's a refining. No, that's part of what God's doing to change us, all right? And it's intertwined in chasing us and giving us blessings. So he's able to work all those things together, you know? So, oh, something went wrong, God's not blessing me. No, he's refining, but he's chasing. He's got this refining has to take place, and he wants to pour out these blessings. So he's doing all things together. And that's where you get in trouble, like, oh, the storm's coming, the devil did it. You know what you're finding? The devil did it. He goes, no, God did it. Because there's changing he's taken into you. And he's also in this pursuing you to give you blessings. So it's all happening together. And he can figure that out. So he's doing, so it all works together. And it's all in the Scripture, okay? It's all in the Scripture. The refining fires and the blessings. And so just remember that all this is happening, keeps our eyes on God, and that we are rejoicing. And that's the reason the Bible says rejoice in your trials. Why? Because I'm pursuing you with blessings. Okay. So you got the whole picture here. Now, the other side of the coin is, the truth of blessings and how they come back is a principle of the truth of curses. Same thing, same principle. It's just the same principle, you know. And so let us look at Deuteronomy 28. We're still in Deuteronomy 28. He says, hey, guys, here's the blessing. Also, pay attention. Here's curse. All right, then going in. Deuteronomy 28:15. And it starts, but. Okay, you always but. You know what but means, you know? Contrast. Okay, but. Okay, if you don't want to do this. But if you will not obey, you made it to say, you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses, da-da-da-da, shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you. Now, so this means that our disobedience will put us in a downward spiral that's difficult to reverse. You know, instead of blessings and curses coming upon us and pursuing us and taking us, curses will make a movement on us and come to us. Curses will chase after us. Curses will suddenly catch up with us. It's like, okay. And he's just letting us know. You know, there's ramifications. You know, there's ramifications to what we do. There's ramifications, you know, about our behavior. And again, it's about obeying the voice of the Lord. And here's the thing about it. Being as old as Lynn and I are, you kind of, well, we can look in our own lives, and that's a good place to start. But what happens is you look, and you see this. You know, you see people, you know, creeping into the end of their life or up like that, and you go, oh, okay. And it's like, gosh, I don't know why. I think maybe I do know why it happened. You see what I'm saying? Because what happens is that these things chase after you. And after a while, they're going to catch you. They feel like they're getting away with murder. It's going to catch them. You see what I'm saying? Oh, this person just does right all the time and everything terrible happens to them. It's all right. It's good is going to catch them. You see? And so this is what he's telling us. You know, he's trying to help us understand. He's helping to understand the whole picture in the Christian life. You know, I accept Christ, nothing goes wrong. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. I mean, it just flat doesn't say it. From Genesis to Revelation, it doesn't say that. So, but it does teach us about the whole perspective of what's going on around us and how we can operate in God's economy. Now, in the New Testament, they would call this sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping in New Testament. In fact, look at this at Galatians 6:7. I mean, this is the same thing, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. Okay, meaning you can be deceived. Oh, man. You know, they're getting away with murder. Nothing ever goes wrong. This person, everything's going wrong. Nothing goes in there. Just doing the right thing. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. See, you're listening to his voice. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, this is you really should put this down. You should write this down. Think about this. In fact, I'm going to be real honest and transparent. The first time I ever heard this was Pastor Minner said it. First time I ever heard it, years ago. Now, that proves one thing, that you can remember what the preacher says. You can. All right. But here's what I said, the sowing and reaping. What you plant is what you receive. Principle, okay? What you plant is what you receive. You receive more than you planted, and you receive it long after you plant it. Amen? Meaning this, I have a kernel of corn, and I plant it. What am I going to receive? Corn. I plant corn, and I don't receive asparagus. I plant corn, and I receive corn. Okay? So what you plant is what you receive. Now, this is God's telling. That's what he's saying in Deuteronomy. God's saying it right here in Galatians. And then when I plant one seed, I will not only get corn, but I'll get a multitude of corn, like maybe 6 ears. You've seen the corn stalk, you know? Hundreds of corn kernels, 5 or 6 corn stalks, and you just planted one kernel. So you receive more than you planted, all right? And then it also, you reap long after it's planted. I planted my corn, went out yesterday, nothing here. Failed crop. 24 hours, I see nothing. You know. But no, when you're doing that, it germinates, it comes out of the soil. Oh, I see a sprig coming out of the soil. Just jerk this sucker up and fry it. No, you got to go, and it gets this high. Now, I don't know if you've seen some of the cornfields in the Midwest. I mean, they're like way up here. It's like, I mean, this is gross. And then they gather that in, they gather that seed. And that one stalk came from one seed, but it came a long time after. So do you see the biblical principle? Confess your sins, and everybody's going to love you and take care of you, and your life will be perfect. The Bible doesn't say that. It does not say that. That's a lie. But what it does say, it turns the life around, you know, and he's saying, so what is he saying? Do what the Lord says, and you start planting seed. You start planting seed. And in that time, a later date, crops going to come in. See, some of us like plant bad seed and pray for crop failure. Yeah, oh God, don't let that grow. See, it's like, no, you got to, so that's what the Lord's telling us. And look here in Galatians 6:9, in context, hear what it says in Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Now let's go back to the corn. One kernel, planted it, water it, take care of it, plant it and water it and take care of it, and nothing's happening to the eye. But within it's germinating, you know. Right there, you take it, and it grows, and it's a sprout. So, but you do this. Don't grow weary while the seed's germinating, or when it just breaks the ground, it's not useful. Don't grow weary in doing good. In due season, you will reap. That's a promise. Amen? You're going to get a crop, and you're going to get a crop of what you planted, And it says, and here's our choice in it. Here's our choice. Plant it and don't give up. Amen? He's telling us, don't give up. That means you can give up. You can give up. So, anyway, so let's, amen? You see this? So, Old Testament, New Testament. And again, the Old Testament, I'm running after you. I'm chasing. You're going to get so much corn, you don't know what's going on. You know, I'm running after you. And you just keep doing what hearing my voice, do what I say. There was a lady, young lady, that came to Linda and I's Bible study at the time, and she was really worldly. I mean, really worldly, and just led a worldly lifestyle. And she came to know the Lord and just turned her life around. and wanted to live for the Lord and just started making some big changes. And the big problem we had with her, for her, was she come back and she says, it's just, I'm trying to walk the Lord, and nothing's changing. Nothing's changing. It's just going, and nothing's changing. I'm dealing with all this stuff. I'm trying to do what God tells me. I keep moving, and nothing changes. And that was her thing. I really am. And she's growing. She's just not changing. And I mean, this went on for long time. I mean, a year or so, but we'd walk with her, and she'd get, you know, she'd come to the Bible study, she'd come to church, she'd get encouraged, and she'd go out in the world, and they'd just beating her up, you know. And then one day, she came in to see me, and she goes, and she, you could tell she's really uptight and felt uncertain, like she was afraid or something. She felt really uncertain. And I said, what's going on? What's happening? And we got the know her real well by that time. And she said, man, something's wrong. Something's really wrong. I don't feel good. I feel afraid, and I don't know what's going on. And so anyway, after a long discussion, what she said that basically that all her old influences were gone, and she was doing extremely well in her job. It all turned around, you know. And she had reconciled with her family and stuff. And she said, just everything had just fallen into place. And I said, well, that's God's blessing on you. That's God's blessing on you. I had to explain to her that that was God's blessing and that that was good. And her issue was not the blessing. She never experienced it. She never experienced it, so it felt wrong. Her whole atmosphere felt wrong within her being. It felt wrong because all her lifestyle had been over here, and that felt comfortable. This felt wrong. That felt comfortable, you know, and she was drawn back because it was comfortable. And this was very hesitant here because it felt strange. It's something she couldn't understand, which, by the way, explains why people go back to their old lifestyle. They go back because it's comfortable. They understand it. They hate it, but they understand it. They know how to function in it. But they don't know how to function here. They've never experienced it. And we had to walk with her experiencing God's blessing. And she's doing, to this day, I would assume, doing very, very well. You see what? But that was an extreme case. So what I want you to do, I want to look at this graph that I put up. Next. Doesn't that look like a cool graph? I like it when I do graphs. And it's like a perfect circle. I put a red Solo cup on the top of it and drew around that. Anyway, just to let you know where it was. But what the thing of it is we look at this, this kind of helps us understand what happened to her, what happened to her. Now, the X in the middle is her, and within that circle, that's her lifestyle. That's all the junk in her life, and that's what she is raised with. That's all she knew, that she's raised with that junk. And so on the red line, starting outward, she started moving in a direction out from there on that red line. So she moved like an inch, okay? I mean, she made some progress. How did she feel? The same. Then she really walked with the Lord. She's growing. She's doing Bible study. And she moved 2 inches. How does she feel? She feels the same. See, by the way, this is discipleship. This is discipleship. You walk with something. Say, well, you did get it. Come on, suck it up. Get out of here. Do it. You know. And this is why they're not. And this is part of discipleship. Walking with somebody because you're walking them through. Because within them, they can't. You know, they're used to this garbage. That's how they spent their entire life. You know. And in fact, and it's hard to understand. They don't even understand. You've known people like that. It feels comfortable. They hate it, but it's comfortable, and they understand how to function in it. They know how to function in it, all that garbage. Okay, so now she goes in, and I mean, it's going on, we're going a year, and she moves like 5 inches, and she's about an inch from that yellow line. She's about an inch from that yellow line. How did she feel? The same. The same. You know what the Bible says? Don't quit. Don't quit because you're an inch from the yellow line. You're an inch. Don't quit. Yeah, it feels the same, but don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You see what I'm saying? And then what happened, she stepped out over that yellow line. She stepped out on the other side, and things immediately, pretty fast, I mean, it's not like boom, but pretty fast, things started falling into place. And they were happening all the way along, but it's still in that mess. But then they really speeded up outside that. It happened pretty fast. And she was unnerved by that. It was like a different, living in a different world. Like, she didn't know how to get up and go to the grocery store. I mean, it's like, oh my God, what is happening? And it really bothered her, and she couldn't get her arms around it. See? But she crossed that line. Well, she crossed in into God's normal, and she didn't know how to handle it. Now, that was an extreme case, but that's something we have to understand. Okay, we have to understand. We pray, we make movements, and we're moving out of a situation, and we're moving the right direction. God, we're moving the right direction. We're doing the right thing, but nothing seems to change. He said, don't quit. Don't quit. You're getting close to that line to step. Don't quit. Don't quit. But it's so wrong. You're not doing nothing, God. Just move 3 inches on the line. You're not doing it. Yeah, I am. Don't quit. Don't quit, because, you know, he's teaching us a few things. There's a refining fire, and there's a storm or two, and there's all sorts of things happening. There's learning the word, and we're moving out of that thing, and we're moving out of that to that line. And he said, this is so bad, I can't say, I quit. And you're 1 inch from the line. See, that's what we say, don't quit, because I'm working because I said I'm working. The only thing we know is he said he's working, but God's nothing's happening. You can't see it, but I'm working. Don't quit, because I'm working, because the Bible says I'm working. So we know, and so he's telling us, and so we continue, and then it falls into place, and it's like, oh my gosh, and you almost feel uncomfortable because you're experiencing something you never experienced before, the way God wanted you to have it and experience it before. Amen? Hallelujah. And so what we need to do is to understand this, and that turning things around takes time, but God's blessing will come upon us and pursue us and overtake us. Do you know when she crossed that yellow line, she felt like she was overtaken by the things of God. She felt overtaken. Okay. Now, In the Christian life, we got whole lots of circles we're working out of. It's not, okay, I got this one thing and I'm cool, man. But no, we're working through all sorts of circles. But as we grow in all of those things, we understand we don't give up, and we know God's working because God tells us he's working. That's what these verses say. That's what they say. You know, and they both say, if you don't give up. And then you talk the reverse. Reverse. You start sowing negative seed. That's not much. A little compromise. Not much. Guess what? Accumulate. And you go, you reverse that thing, and then you get in it. So, okay, I got to get out of this. Now I'm going, can't get out of it. Not quick. You see what I'm saying? Go say. So, hallelujah. So we will say, okay, let's be sure we're sowing some good seed. We know something. Let's sow what we know. We know something, okay? And then you'll see God, and you'll see him bring in the crop. So, and so that we understand, too, we understand the negative part of it, what happens. How you, people that sow in a negative way, you don't see just one day they're just, one day you woke up and they're over there. You know, what happened? You're in this mess. No, they sowed negative seed, you know, and they gradually walked. They just an inch, and then they're consumed by it. They're consumed by it. You see what I'm saying? And you think, how in the world did they do that? How did that happen? It happened an inch at a time. That's how it happens. See, and God's, I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to do anything bad to you. I'm just telling you what's going on. I'm telling you how my economy's working. And as you're coming out of that, I am chasing you. Don't forget, I'm chasing you with blessings. And as you go negative, he's saying the curses are chasing you. I got them. I'm going to tell you the thing about, you ever wonder about Judas? What happened to Judas? Well, I mean, you're hanging around Jesus for 3 years and you betray him. I don't think he started out, I got 3 years earnings, I got Jesus nailed, I'm going to betray him. You know, or he didn't wake up 3 years later and says, okay, I'm going to betray him. That's not happening. You know that didn't happen. So what happened is that he started inching along in a negative way, and then after a while, the curses caught up with him and consumed him. Amen? That had to be. And you know what the first negative thing we read about Jesus, the first negative thing we read about Judas, very fascinating. And he said, you need to give money to the poor. Judas told Jesus that. I mean, that's cool. Okay, Jesus will let you know. You need to give money to the poor. But it says, Judas didn't care for the poor because he was a thief. That's the first thing said about Judas. He wasn't a murderer. He was a thief. That was the seed. You know, hey, these guys are going out and all this bunch of people, Jesus is breaking bread. I'm staying back, you know, in Capernaum. I'm having pizza, you know, just took a buck or two out of the laundry. See, we did. And so, but he became a thief. And so he operated as a thief. That was his seed. That was his seed. Okay? And then there's another interesting, this is all in the Gospel of John, by the way. And then he moves forward, and the next thing you hear about Judas is they're moving towards Jerusalem, and it says this. This is fascinating. It says, Satan prompted him. And that's the word of you. Satan prompted him. Now look right here. Back here, Judas made a decision to be a thief. So he opened himself up to the negative economy. But it was his decision to be a thief, right? So he opened himself to the negative economy. So walking in his negative economy, now he was vulnerable to Satan to prompt him. See what I'm saying? And then at the Lord's Supper, it said Satan entered him. Done deal. No repentance. Done deal. Satan entered him. He could have repented anywhere along the line. But he walked in that economy. He walked in that economy until Satan entered him, and that's how Christ went to the cross. It was through Judas. You ever wonder why? God, Jesus picked Judas. You know, I picked you because you're a lousy, no good person. No, and nobody else. And you know what happened at the Lord's Supper? And this is on the negative side, but it helps us to learn. And Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. Did all 11 go? Judas. They didn't know who it was. He's as good as anybody else. He didn't. They didn't know. They didn't have a clue. In fact, what they go, is it me? I mean, they couldn't. They said, is it me? I mean, they were like, whoa, like that. Now, but all that, I only bring that out for one reason. In the negative way, you can see how you can end up where Judas ended up. That's an extreme. But in the positive way, you end up the same way. You end up the same way. You start planting positive seeds. You plant things. You listen to the Lord, and you do what the Lord tells you, and those things accumulate. And God says, I rush upon you and overtake you, just like Satan rushed upon Judas and overtook him. He entered in. He was overtaken. Amen? That's what happened. So, forget. All right, we see that. But no, God said, no, don't forget. Don't give up. He said, let us not, in Galatians 6:9, going back there, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Yeah, the same thing in Deuteronomy. He said, he's telling us the exact same thing. So it makes a difference We do. I'm here by myself. Nobody knows. I can take a couple bucks. Nobody knows. That's a lie. God knew full well. So it's like over here like this. I don't have nothing like this. I'll just give $2. Nobody cares, not much. Nobody knows. That's a lie. God knows full well. That's the reason Jesus said the widow, you know, she put in two pennies. And they go, look, $2. He says, yeah. She gave all she had. And he honored the widow because she gave $2. See, Jesus does that. It's sowing and reaping. It's sowing and reaping. And that's what our life's made of. Now, you can apply it to your own situations, like going to college, you know, going to school, going to college, or, you know, this, that, and the other. The more time you put into it, it accumulates, and you continue to do well at it. You don't do well at it, that tends to accumulate, and you just don't end up doing very well. So it's your own initiative. But God is saying, you make a decision, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to chase you. And if you start making those negative sins, that's going to chase you. You know, and then what's the spooky thing? And it's like, Linda and I here are 70 years old. You're looking around like, holy crud. Crop comes in later. It comes in later. Oh, my gosh. You live long enough, you see it. Just think how much God's seen. It's like, I know what's happening. So anyway, so we look at that and let's think about it. So here's what we want to do. We want to think, continue to know that, continue to sow and know that the harvest will come in due to time. That's what we need. I mean, this is why he's telling us. So we sow and we know the harvest is coming. It's coming in because God brings it in. There's this verse in Corinthians, it says, and God makes it grow. See, that's it. Yeah, it is. God makes it grow. And then it grows, and you get more, multitudes, more. One, you know, grain of corn. God. No, you get a host, 5 or 6 stalks with thousands of kernels. See, one, okay. All I got's one. We'll do the one, and he'll bless it. He'll bless it like that. And if you get all the stock, you got thousands. What if you plant all those thousands? And the Lordy be, you know, you have to start hiring people and get a tractor. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Okay, so just know that, and to know that, and God is the one who, and he says, God makes it grow. See, we keep trying to work in, help God. No, just do what we're supposed to do. God makes it grow. God makes it grow. So here's some things. I don't want to get too deep and, you know, but here's some like positive seeds that will grow. Okay? One seed. Read the Bible 5 minutes a day. Read it 5 minutes a day. What happens is you're going to get a crop. You're going to get a crop. You're going to get something back from what? From reading the Bible 5 minutes a day. And he's going to give you what he says. He's going to give it to you. He's going to start enlightening you. So God never talks to me. Read the Bible. Well, I don't want to read it. I'm going to read it 5 hours a day. No, read it 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes. That's a seed. You see, and then God will start multiplying that. He'll multiply that, okay? And it's like, oh, gosh, I've been reading the Bible for 10 years and nothing happened, you know. No, he said it will happen. And it's going to, and what's going to happen is after a period of time, you're going to get a tremendous crop from reading the Scriptures. See, personally, you see what I'm saying? Same thing. You can just take it 5 minutes in prayer. You think, I'm gonna be like my good friend and mentor, Pastor Milliken. I'm going to be just like him, and I'm going to pray 6 hours every morning. And then by morning two, I'd think I'm not like Pastor Milliken because I just 6 hours. Good gosh, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I say, I want the harvest. I want everything. I want 6 hours and his blessings right now, you know. And so I can't do it 6 hours. I'm not getting his blessing, you know. And I couldn't last very long with his 6 hours and things. But it's like, okay, I'll give it 5 minutes. God said, okay, now I'll start working through you 5 minutes. And then thou grow. Thou see the fruit of that. Then thou see thou come up. And thou grow. And then the blessings come from that. And then there's a growth in that. That's a good seed. That's a good seed. But do it with anything. Do it with anything. And so be nice to the cashier as you check out. Just like, you know what? I'll never see them again. They'll never see me again. And I don't want to talk to them. All right? See, that multiplies back. You know? But if you're nice to them, you speak to them, and you interact, and it's kind of fun. And I have, over the years, you know, watched Linda do that. She talks to everybody in back room. And you know what? Everybody likes her. Everybody likes her. See? Now, I'm being funny. I don't mean this to be bad, but I'm going to be funny. There are several people that have left the church because they're mad at me. They have. None of them are mad at her. Nobody's mad at her, you know. I mean, they kind of like pray over her when they leave. It's just like, I don't know how you do it. You know, and so it's like, okay, so I start talking to the cashier. I want people like me, so I'm starts talking to the cashier, you know. And it's kind of fun. They're really pleased about it. You know, you find out all sorts of things, you know. I went to Starbucks the other day, and I remembered the girl from last week. I said, hey, you go to Stonebridge, don't you? She said, yeah, how you doing, you know. So we talk, you know, it's like that. I got a new friend at Starbucks. Okay, so anyway, but you see what I'm saying? You start planting seed, and that multiplies out. The seed multiplies beyond anything you can imagine. Amen? So what we have here, look at Galatians 6:10. So then, now look at this. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of the faith. Now, that's all in that sowing and reaping deal. It's all in there. I mean, that is all in context with, and that ties back to what Deuteronomy says. So it's all there. And so when you think about this, one of the things you need to know, too, it's like, okay, this is the sowing and reaping, and God's moving, but he's in the business changing us into time, you know, changing other people, and so we have to cooperate with him in this refining process. But no, he is chasing after us with blessings. We don't have to beg for the blessings. He's chasing after us. But we need to have on our lips the name of Jesus. Need to have on our lips the name of Jesus. That's the biggest seed. That's the biggest seed. Look at Acts 16:31. It said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. Jesus needs to be on your lips. Jesus needs to be on your lips. And then, you know, and then you understand, you will be saved, you and your whole household. And so you're opening those doors. You don't know what's happening, how it's connected. So hallelujah. Blessings are just chasing y'all all over the place. I mean, just chasing you, chasing after you. All right, yeah, certain things are happening all around you, but somewhere on that red line, you're moving out where God wants you to be. And those things will come, and they're going to overtake you. Now, that's biblical. Old Testament, New Testament. Blessings are chasing you, and they're going to catch you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord. Okay. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's a good time of Christmas. You know, maybe you get a lot of presents or something. Okay. You get a bunch of presents, you know. If your partners listen, maybe they'll give you a lot of presents. We got Okay, we stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, it's an unbelievable thing that we think that you truly pursue us and overtake us with your blessing, and then that is your desire. And so, Lord, we just feast our eyes upon you, and we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.